So in 1916, big surprise, when over 2 days of intense negotiations between Frank Becker in Kokano, Wisconsin, and C.K. Blandin, who was the business manager for the Pioneer Press, come to agreement on terms for the sale of the paper mill, the all-important economic base in Grand Rapids. During the negotiations, Blandin very urgently asked Becker to persuade Bossard to sell to the St. Paul newspapers all of the Itasca Mill newsprint not already contracted to others, because that, after all, was the whole purpose. In his buying it, he wanted to have his own source of supply for newsprint for the St. Paul Pioneer Press and the Dispatch. So, yes, he certainly wants to immediately get all of the back inventory that the Itasca Paper Company has and whatever they don't sell of what's being currently manufactured. Becker agreed, but he made it clear that the mill would charge a full market price, explaining that there had been long years when the Itasca Paper Company had not had a taste of living prices. The Kokona banker, who for 15 years had also been a papermaking man, pointed out in no uncertain terms that much of the reason for low paper prices had been due to the actions of the United States newspaper publishers. To Blandin, Becker stated that, as he remembered it, the Pioneer Press was most perniciously active in persecutions of the paper manufacturers. We noted before that the powerful press was making every effort to keep prices so low that you couldn't even make a profit on them at all. But at any rate, in Becker's letter to his Grand Rapids partners asking them to sell their surplus to the St. Paul papers, he recounted the conversation with Blandin and wrote, "But we are in a deal with him, and it is now time to exercise diplomacy, for which I know you have the necessary capacity." Charles Blandin always took pride in his business ability and his fine sense of the art of negotiation. But during those 2 days of intense and hectic discussions, this acumen temporarily deserted him, and he let slip a bit of information that Becker was quick to note. Blandin revealed that he was paying the high price of $97 per ton for newsprint purchased in Wisconsin. When Becker wrote to Bossard, quoting that figure, he suggested not only that they use diplomacy in dealing with Blandin, but that the mill owners make all the money in the business we can while it lasts. Becker also said that he trusted that our operations at the mill will be sufficiently profitable until the deal is totally closed. Well, there are no records of the quantity of newsprint the St. Paul newspapers purchased from the mill before the transfer of ownership, but we can well believe that C.K. Blandin paid a living price for all that he did secure. No announcement was made in Grand Rapids of the sale, and it wasn't until a week after the tentative agreement had been reached that an article in the St. Paul Dispatch announced that the St. Paul newspapers had acquired the mill. With this in hand, a Herald Review reporter hurried to interview Bossard, who explained that the deal had not yet been finally closed, but that the offer of the St. Paul papers had been accepted, and unless unforeseen difficulties developed, the matter would be settled at the earliest possible moment. The article went on to explain to local readers that the St. Paul interest desired the mill because of the current newsprint shortage. The Herald Review surmised that the effect of the sale in Grand Rapids would be negligible because the St. Paul dailies required a large amount of paper and certainly would keep the mill operating at full capacity. If any changes did occur, it speculated, the St. Paul people have plenty of backing and production probably would increase. The board of directors of the Itasca Paper Company met in Grand Rapids in September of 1916 to finalize and agree upon the arrangements for the sale of the paper mill. The following day, C.K. Blandin and five of the officers of the Dispatch Printing Company, that's the company that owned the newspapers in St. Paul, arrived, and a number of steps were taken. First of all, the four Kokona investors all resigned their various offices and resigned from the board of directors. And following that, a new board of directors was elected, and that included Blandin and the others who had come up from St. Paul with him. Once those steps had been taken, Becker resigned as president, and Charles Blandin, now a director, was unanimously chosen as the new president of the Itasca Paper Company. So the beginning of his long association with that company is underway. Well, having taken care of those details, the new board of directors extended a vote of confidence in the managerial skills and abilities of Anselm Bossert, hiring him to continue as the manager of the Itasca Paper Company. So Bossert is still going to be there. But the men from Kukana were finished with their Grand Rapids investment. Certainly, their endeavor had not met their expectations, and profits for most of their 15 years of ownership had been non-existent or minimal. But the four did receive $600,000 for their $470,000 investment, although they still owed almost $100,000 on the second mortgage for expansion. But nonetheless, they had profited from the sale. And there were other compensations as well. A Herald Review editorial praised the broad spirit of helpfulness and cooperation that has characterized the activities of the company. And they commented, "The company has always been a real power and a consistent influence for progress in the community." In a statement to the press in Grand Rapids, the new president, Charles Blandin, referred to our predecessors for whom you all entertain such high and well-deserved respect. And the men from Kukana could draw considerable satisfaction from their quite daring venture into the business of manufacturing paper in Minnesota. Luther Lindauer retired from his many varied business activities in Kukana and left Wisconsin to spend his last years in California. Frank Becker continued his banking career in Kukana, but he met an untimely death just a few years later. His brother Henry Becker continued to work in Grand Rapids for the Itasca Paper Company for another year before moving to Minneapolis to pursue a new career in the insurance business. And Anselm Bossert remained in active control of the mill operation, but without his former corporate responsibilities. A few days after the sale, he received a letter from the cashier of the First National Bank of Kukana, stating that the Itasca Paper Company would be missed on the bank's roll of active customers. The cashier thanked Bossert for the businesslike way all transactions had been conducted and the courtesy at all times shown us. Accompanying the letter were bank drafts totaling $60,000, representing Bossert's initial share of proceeds from the sale. And looking to the future, Blandin quelled speculation about the fate of the Itasca Paper Company in a statement published in the Herald Review. "We are looking forward with pleasure to establishing a close relationship with Grand Rapids," he wrote, "as we have been decidedly impressed with the wonderful natural advantages and possibilities of this section." Blandin said that every effort would be made to retain the splendid goodwill and cooperation shown by the people of Grand Rapids and hope to merit the continuance of their goodwill to our mutual advantage by doing our share as good citizens in all worthy enterprises. The policies of the mill," he continued, "would be largely the same as those in the past, with current mill employees to be retained. The only major difference would be some immediate steps to increase the output to its full capacity." Blandin concluded, "Personally, I am looking forward with much pleasure to the opportunity that has now afforded me of visiting Grand Rapids often." Editorial in the same issue of the Herald Review referred to the sale of the company as an event of unusual importance to Grand Rapids and the surrounding county. It called the Dispatch Printing Company a powerful St. Paul institution and expressed confidence that our natural advantages will surely be recognized as the company invests capital in the area. "The possibilities of the new relationship are most attractive," the editorial continued. "A welcome to the new owners was extended, along with assurance that they will always have the hearty support of our people. We are confident that the relationship between the people of this section and the Itasca Paper Company will remain as cordial as in the past. And isn't this interesting? For a second time, it's a group of amateurs who have entered the business of manufacturing paper in Grand Rapids. This time, newspapermen would learn of the intricacies of papermaking. But most of all, the forceful Charles Blandon was about to launch a whole new era for the Itasca Paper Company and for Grand Rapids.